Hello out there, Bristol Bay. We're glad you've tuned in on this Friday evening. It's June 29th, and I'm your host, Austin Fast. This is the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report.
The Bristol Bay Fisheries Report is brought to you by the Bristol Bay Regional Seafood Development Association. Ensuring long-term growth is the world's greatest salmon fishery through investment in Bristol Bay science, infrastructure, marketing, and quality. The Bristol Bay RSDA, we're on board with you.
Coming up on tonight's show, area management biologist Tim Sands talks about how he is managing the Nooshkak District during the soupy weather we've been seeing lately. Catches have dialed down in the Noosh over the last couple days.
Well, I think we're seeing a little lull after a storm. Same thing happened last year.
And over in the Naknek-Quijack, fishing is heating up a little bit, but participation is still low.
Naknek River's getting going. Our escapements there have doubled each day over the last 6 days to where yesterday we had about 36,000 for a daily count.
And then toward the end of the show, we have a special culinary treat for you. Most fishermen need quick meals, but we found a Dillingham deckhand who doubles as a private chef. We're sure the crew of the fishing vessel Marion Ruth is staying quite well fed this season.
So are your cooking skills the reason Elijah hired you on as a deckhand?
I think I'm pretty good on the back deck too. That's just a value add is cooking skills. It's something that I can take off of his plate so he doesn't have to worry about it either.
Those stories and more are coming after we dive into the numbers. Stick with us.
Support for KDLG is made possible by generous support from the Bristol Bay Fishermen's Association, advocating for fishermen, online at bristolbayfishermen.org. Support for KDLG comes from Alaska Eagle Eye, locally owned and operated with car, truck, tool, equipment, and adventure gear rentals at the King Salmon Airport. Committed to getting you on your way in Bristol Bay. Reservations at 246-CARS.
How could anyone pick up your heart just to watch it fall?
You're tuned in to the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report. First up tonight, as always, the daily run summary. We'll begin over on the east side of Bristol Bay. Ugashik notched down a bit from Wednesday, posting a harvest of 15,000 sockeye yesterday for a season cumulative of 37,539. On yesterday's second day of counting at the Ugashik Tower, it posted an escapement of 756 reds. Season cumulative is at 1,218. In-river estimate for Ugashik stands at 10,000. Over in Igagik, looks like it slowed up a bit, hauling in 40,000 sockeye Thursday for a season total of 318,000. Escapement there in Igagik was 6,300 for a season total of 237,000. The in-river estimate for Igagik is at 25,000. Naknek-Quijack nearly doubled Wednesday's catch with 40 reds on Thursday. Season total now sits at 91,300. Daily escapement nudged up to 35,800, with 162 of those fish coming from the Quijack River. The remaining all came from the Naknek River. We've yet to see the Alagnak River post any escapement for this season. In the Nooshkak District, catch dropped further after that giant haul we saw on Tuesday. Thursday's catch was 292,000 sockeye. That brings the season cumulative to 3.96 million for the Nooshkak. 333,000 fish escaped in the Nooshkak District yesterday, pushing the cumulative to just over a million for the season. Let's break yesterday's escapement in the Noosh down by river. The Portage Creek sonar counted 3,000 kings for a season total of 60,300, still charting well ahead of the historical averages. The sonar there counted 18,700 reds for a season total of 149,000. It also counted 17,000 chum for a season total of 324,600. For the Wood River, there were 311,800 reds that pushed up the Wood yesterday and another 41,100 this morning before 6 o'clock. That brings the season total to 974,900. The Ugashik Tower started counting a week ago. Yesterday, it saw 2,600 reds with another 1,300 before 6 a.m. today. That brings the cumulative total for the Ugashik Tower to 12,200. Over in Togiak, there were very few people fishing on Thursday, so Fish and Game is still keeping those numbers confidential. Season total for Togiak stands at 1,976 fish. The Togiak River section only closed on Wednesday for regular king conservation. Per regulation, they'll open that section back up again on Monday morning with extended hours until 9 p.m. next Saturday. The Togiak tower is about to get up and running for escapement numbers there. We should see a crew there to start counting on Monday. Zooming out for a look at the big picture, the total harvest in Bristol Bay yesterday fell to 387,000 reds, which puts us at 4.4 million for the season. Escapement across all five districts was 376,000 for a season total of nearly 1.5 million. Adding in our in-river estimates puts 2018's total run at 5.9 million so far. Changing gears now, here's a look at the sockeye per driftboat deliveries across the bay. Ugashik was Thursday's clear winner. They averaged 508 sockeye per delivery. Nooshigak was a distant second with 195 fish per delivery. Igigik just edged out Naknek-Quijak at 124 sockeye per drift delivery. For Naknek-Quijak, they got 122. Togiak was a distant fifth with 29 fish per drift delivery. Now let's look at where the boats are and where they're heading across Bristol Bay. It looks like fishermen are shifting eastward and our western districts are staying pretty stable. Here are the numbers for vessel registrations as of 9 o'clock Friday morning. For Igigik, we currently have 336 permits on 277 vessels, 59 D-boats. In 48 hours' time, Igigik will add 38 permits on 26 boats. For Ugashik, right now there are 39 permits on 30 boats. That means 9 D-boats. In 2 days' time, we'll add 25 permits on 21 more boats, which means we're adding 4 D-boats into the mix. In Naknek-Quijak, there were 137 permits on 122 vessels as of this morning, 15 D-boats. Naknek-Quijak will add 11 permits on 11 vessels in 48 hours' time. We're seeing less movement on the Nooshigak. Right now, permits stand at 1,028 on a total of 767 vessels, including 261 D-boats. By Sunday morning, joining the party are 6 permits on 5 boats, meaning just one more will be doubling up. In Togiak, we have 27 permits on 27 boats, and those numbers will remain stable at least through Sunday morning. Looking back, that's a grand total of 1,567 permits on 1,223 vessels across all five districts as of Friday morning. In 48 hours' time, we're pushing up to 1,647 permits on 1,286 boats. Let's head south now to Port Muller. We have new numbers in from yesterday's catch across the test fisheries transect. Thursday saw Station 6 continue to haul in big numbers. Those stations closer inshore traditionally represent Eastside fish, so research coordinator Jack Erickson at Fish and Game and King Salmon told me yesterday he's hoping the next set of fish scale samples they take a look at might show a bump in numbers heading east. The mean daily catch index for Stations 2 through 10 was 36 yesterday, which was down from Wednesday's 48. The mean daily catch for Stations 2 through 24 was 52, up from Wednesday's 41. Here are Thursday's raw counts for the Port Muller test fishery. The Pendalis did not fish Station 2. At Station 4, there were 0 in the 4.5-inch mesh and 1 fish in the 5.8-inch mesh. At Station 6, they saw 29 in the 4.5 and 40 in the 5.8. At Station 8, there were 0 in the 4.5 and 1 fish in the 5.8. At Station 10, there was 1 fish in the 4.5 and 1 in the 5.8. At Station 12, there were 23 in the 4.5 and 5 in the 5.8. At Station 14, they saw 17 sockeye in the 4.5 and 15 in the 5.8. And finally, at Station 16, there were 13 in the 4.5 and 12 in the 5.8. For Thursday, a grand total of 83 fish were caught in the 4.5-inch meshes. They caught 75 in the 5.8-inch mesh. And that's all now for the numbers on this Friday, June 29th.
Support for KDLG comes from Deep Sea Fisheries Incorporated, working to provide top-quality Alaskan seafood with a commitment to sustainable sourcing. Serving Bristol Bay salmon fishermen with the Big Creek Fisheries Shore Plant since 2008. More at deepseafisheries.com.
Welcome back to the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report. Thanks for sticking around through the numbers. You can catch us here every night at 6, 10, and 2 a.m. in the morning. On the weekends, we have an afternoon show at 1:30 in addition to our normal evening airtimes. And you won't want to miss tomorrow's show as Dillingham songstress Teresa Duncan joins me in the studio to serenade us with her fish tunes. Let's take a look now at the Naknek Quijack District, where fishing looks to be picking up a bit. In case you lost it among all those other numbers I just read through, fishermen there hauled in 40,000 sockeye yesterday, making the cumulative harvest 91,300 fish. KDLG's Avery Lill talked with area management biologist Travis Ellison this afternoon about escapement and fishing effort in the district.
Hi Travis, thanks for talking with me. The numbers are picking up a bit in the Naknek Quijack. The run is a little behind where it was last year. It's a little ahead of 2016. How are you feeling about where the run is sitting right now?
About like you couched it, I'm tracking really close to the last 3 years. And on forecasts in that context of the last 3 years, which I'm confident that's what we're looking like because of the way things have started here. Naknek River's getting going. Our escapements there have doubled each day over the last 6 days to where yesterday we had about 36,000 for a daily count. And today through 2 p.m. we already have 37,000. So we're getting a good push of fish right now. So as far as escapement on the Naknek, we're looking great right now, which means we can have some fishing time.
And what is on your mind as you're making those management decisions for when to open and close those areas?
Right now I'm just trying to make sure I stay on the curve here for Naknek escapement, and I'm thinking about the low levels of effort in the district with the low boat count. We've surpassed 100 boats, but it's still a small effort. So if a big volume of fish were to hit, and a lot of it would go upriver, so I'm trying to stay aggressive enough to make sure we can harvest anything that shows up in volume, but also trying to not get too aggressive and keep some pace so that we don't fall behind the escapement and have to take a long break. So right now, fishing one tide a day has been good, but we've been getting further ahead, so we might go to two tides a day starting this afternoon.
And what are you hearing from the fishermen out on the water?
We haven't been seeing much on this side. It's been pretty slow so far. There was some scratch fishing going on yesterday. You know, fish sizes over here are okay, better than we've seen over in the Nooshigak, but I think that's an age composition thing. So, yeah, we'll see. There's, you know, a lot of water out there in the Naknek right now to try to catch fish. We'll just need to get some fish in there.
Fair enough. And what indicators are you watching as this run shapes up in terms of the port molar numbers and age composition and all that?
Sure, you know, I've been watching the port molar indices and trying to overlay the genetics when we get them to those days. I'm hoping we'll see a bit of a push this weekend based on port molar. And then we might see a slack off. It's hard to say, but I do anticipate it to slow down again. We see the trend we've seen the last 3 years, and, you know, once we get past 4th of July, I'm hoping to see, you know, the bulk of the Alagnak and Quijack and Naknek showing up here in the district.
So the Alagnak, we don't have any data, and the Quijack is showing a total escapement of 252 sockeye right now. What's going on with those escapements?
Well, it's still early. The Alagnak crew just started counting this morning, which is normal timing for them. Quijack's been counting for about a week and seeing very few fish. But as of today, they're seeing fish every hour. Still low numbers. We've got a couple hundred today. But, you know, that's just the start of the Quijack. It sometimes doesn't show up till July. We've seen this in the past and still had really nice runs. So the Quijack, you can go from nothing to millions in a day. So while we're behind right now, we're not really more than a day or two behind what we've seen, you know, kind of in the recent past.
So just waiting on that pulse of fish.
Yep.
So it sounds like most of what's going on in your district is pretty on trend. Is there anything about this year's run that's surprising you?
Not yet. No, it's really close to what I imagined as far as how the fish are showing up, where they're showing up, when, and the amount of effort. So pretty similar to last year, other than fewer boats. Everybody seems to be over on the west side right now, and you know, I've kind of got a small fleet to match a small run at the moment, which is working well, and I expect things to start changing in the next few days.
Predictable sounds like a good place to be sitting.
It's nice in this position, yeah.
I think that about covers it. Thanks so much for talking with me, Travis.
Thanks, Avery.
And now we take it back over to the west side, where harvest numbers have declined since Tuesday's million sockeye harvest. Wednesday, fishermen brought in 684,000 reds. Yesterday, the harvest slipped down to 292,000. Avery spoke with Nooshkak District's management biologist, Tim Sands, this afternoon about what he makes of those numbers. Sands also delivered some good news for set netters looking forward to fishing the Wood River Special Harvest District.
So we had that enormous catch on Tuesday, and it looks like things have dropped off a little bit in the last couple of days. What do you think we're seeing?
Well, I think we're seeing a little lull after a storm. Same thing happened last year. We had the same million catch harvest on the 26th, and then a gradual step down for several days. So it just seems like the way it goes is a lull after a storm.
That makes sense. And looking forward on the run, what do you think we're looking at in terms of fishing time or how the fish are coming in?
There's a bunch of different things going on right now. We're fishing now. We have to control escapement in the Wood River. The Wood River is approaching 1.1 million escapement, and that's not the mid-range goal anymore, but it's still quite a bit of escapement for June. So we need to keep the fleet out in the district fishing to control the Wood River escapement. And once we hit 1.1 million, we will open up the Wood River Special Harvest Area to the gear type that's behind on their harvest percentage, which right now is set net fleet and will be set net fleet for the foreseeable future. The other thing that's going on is our Nooshkak escapement is not doing as well as I would like to see it do. We're currently tracking okay, but I'm afraid with this lull that we're going to have a lull in our escapement. And if that happens, we could be triggering some protective measures for Nooshkak sockeye. So we'll see in the morning if we fall below the necessary amount of fish, then we could start a clock on requiring 4 3/4-inch mesh in the district.
And what kind of escapement are you hoping to see in the Nooshkak today?
We need 11,000 sockeye today to keep on the 370,000 fish curve. So if we fall below 11,000 today, then we would include in our announcement tomorrow that information that we fell below the minimum necessary amount for today, and that would start the 48-hour clock, which can be canceled at any time if escapement picks back up to necessary levels. But if it doesn't, then the next step would be 24-hour notice to switch gear to 4 3/4-inch mesh, and then after that we'd be at requiring 4 3/4-inch mesh to fish in the Nooshkak.
And now that we've had some more fish go through, are you hearing more about the size of fish that people are harvesting?
You know, I get the daily catch reports. They're kind of all over the board. Some of them say they're, you know, 5 pounds. So there's definitely some 4 pound average, 4.4, 4.7, 5.2, but I don't have a good feel for the actual weighted average fish size.
Gotcha. Sounds like it's still kind of all over the map.
Yeah.
Fair enough. And thanks so much for doing an update with me.
Thanks, Avery. Talk to you later.
And we'll be paying attention tomorrow morning on Saturday at 9 a.m. as the Wood River Special Harvest Area could open as early as Saturday night. And now for our last story tonight, I'll introduce you to a deckhand. He's also a direct marketer and a private chef, all rolled into one. Wild salmon usually pass through many hands on their way from ocean water to the table, but not for Christopher Wong of San Francisco. He's got a unique take on fishing since he handles more links in the salmon supply chain than most people. Here's his story. When fresh produce arrives in rural Alaska, it's an event. People know how tough it is to get greens or berries across the tundra from the farms down south. Casual shoppers elsewhere may not be so appreciative.
As a chef, when you see how something's caught or how it's killed even, there's a real value to what it is as a resource. It's a little bit different than just going to the store and buying something off a shelf and being like, vegetables grow on the shelves in grocery stores.
That's Chef Christopher Wong. He knows better than most people just how much work it takes to carry Bristol Bay salmon from the ocean to the table.
I learned how to cook from my mom, and then, like a lot of people do. And then I had sort of a knack for it, so that then when I was in between off seasons while I was working on sailboats, I took different jobs as a cook, and then was given more and more responsibility, became a chef.
After first fishing Alaskan waters in the early 90s, Wong eventually became a private chef on tall ships. He single-handedly completes the ocean-to-table chain because he also runs a direct-to-market salmon company in San Francisco. That's when he's not here fishing Nooshkak Bay.
That's really where I'm interested in, is making that connection of taking people and putting them in a place as well, so that they actually can really taste like this and understand like the story of salmon and the magic and of what it is. We always talk about it kind of like as a communion, like you're eating something that's given its life. And, even though they live in a building in California, they can feel like, oh yeah, these regions that are supporting such a wild thing and need to be protected.
Pebble Mine is the primary thing Wong names as endangering Bristol Bay salmon. He now uses his Gypsy Fish Company to advocate sustainability and conservation, but it started out much simpler.
So when you're on the back of a fishing boat, you're always just talking with your buddy about blah, 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 whatever. And we were just talking about how awesome it'd be to have a freezer full of salmon for myself. So I started bringing salmon back, and then a lot of my friends wanted it. And also I saw there was an opportunity to sell it to my cooking clients as well. So that business was sort of born out of that, really.
Suffice it to say, the crew on the fishing vessel Marion Ruth is eating pretty well this season with Wong at the cabin stove. Instead of a month of ramen noodles like some other boats might have, he marinated and froze larger cuts of meat. He's aiming for homemade bagels, pizza, and bread, but definitely will cook salmon, cabbage, rice, and lots of sauces.
It's something that you can have slow cooking just on the stove and run back out on deck, and it's not going to be terrible when you come back.
So are your cooking skills the reason Elijah hired you on as a deckhand?
I think I'm pretty good on the back deck, too. That's just a value add, is cooking skills. It's something that I can take off of his plate so he doesn't have to worry about it either. My job is to try to keep his mind clear so he can just worry about finding fish.
As we talk, Wong seasons his first king salmon of the year, just caught by a Nooshkak set netter.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited. We're just going to grill it straight up and have it without anything else but salt and pepper, see what it tastes like. Be really aware of not overcooking it. Even if you pull it off early, you can always sort of it'll actually still be cooking while it's off the grill, off the heat, because it's the surface meat's holding heat in. It tastes good as it in and of itself, so don't just swamp it with sauce. Let the meat speak for itself.
Wong's direct order customers in San Francisco are listening. He says some just want a good deal on salmon, but others host dinners and fundraisers to promote salmon conservation.
A lot of them are looking on Instagram, following what we're doing right now. Yeah, it's super fun. Super fun to really bring a place and a taste to somebody and tell them about where it comes from and how it's caught.
Wong plans to push his salmon evangelism even further. He's working with a nonprofit, Salmon State, to release a toolkit this fall to walk other direct marketers through the steps of becoming salmon advocates. And now to my favorite part of the show. We have a few messages to the fleet out there on the waves. If you've been paying attention this week, you know Feldman has been a very dedicated pen pal for Captain Eric Mitby of the fishing vessel Orca. Today, some mysterious guests have joined him as he signed his note, Feldman et al. Here's that message for Eric. As rigid avo-lacto vegans, you know our position on your chosen lifestyle. Despite this, as your family, we wish you minimal success on your season. Hashtag fish feel pain. Hashtag go vegan. Make of that what you will, Eric. Another message. This one is for James on the fishing vessel Opportunity, and it comes in riddle form. Here we go. What rises tall from humble beginning sometimes does fall when a cold wind comes spinning. Handled roughly, I thrive. In the hearth, there's no equal. Pieces of me are kept live should you desire a sequel. Those are all the messages we've got tonight, but please keep them coming. We want to get your message out to your friends or your family members who are out on the water fishing. You can email Avery, that's A-V-E-R-Y, at kdlg.org, or give us a call at the station at 907-842-5281. You can get in touch with me at austin at kdlg.org. We want to hear your feedback and your suggestions. But before we call it a night on this Bristol Bay Fisheries Report, just a few housekeeping notes. It's Friday, so you know what that means. Late Lines is coming to you tonight, live from our studios, 11 p.m. to midnight. We'll take your song requests as long as you can answer our off-the-wall trivia questions or guess what random sitcoms or movies cross our brains. Please give us a call for Late Line at 907-842-1670. Also, we'd appreciate it if you give us some love on social media. KDLG is on Facebook. If you're one of our fans, you probably noticed we aired a Facebook Live video on Wednesday's show. So you can take a look there if you want to know what it looks like from our point of view behind the microphone here in Dillingham. We're also on Twitter, and we have a new Instagram, which has already drawn comparisons to National Geographic, but I don't want to toot our own horn too much. And finally, your Marine Zone forecast for Bristol Bay tonight is a northwesterly wind. At 15 knots, seas at 3 feet. For Saturday, west wind at 20 knots, seas will be at 4 feet. Saturday night, also westerly wind, staying at 20 knots, seas remain at 4 feet for Saturday night. Watch out for areas of patchy fog. That's all for tonight. I'm Austin Fast. Big thanks to KDLG News Director Avery Lill for her work on tonight's show. Also, thank you so much to our underwriters and the individuals who contribute financially to make this show possible. We couldn't do it without you. Catch this show tomorrow afternoon at 1:30 p.m. with a special musical guest, Teresa Duncan, and also every night this season at 6, 2, 10, and 2 in the morning. Good luck and good fishing out there.